Accession number 27266, Mr. Brian Keogh, Reel 3. Now, any other stories about your time as you advanced through Germany? It says in your notes there's quite a few stories. I don't know whether you remember them all now, but what stories do you remember as you moved deeper into Germany?
Well, the first thing we do walking into Germany, because we did walking, we were going up to a place called Minden, and that's in North Germany. And that was to be my billet for some time, actually.
Isn't that after the war was over?
The war had... Now, let me think about that. That's a question, because the war wasn't over at the time. Can I interrupt at this point and tell you another little story first?
Yes, tell the story first, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So I think you went to Minden later on.
Yes, but before Minden, we were stopping where we could in billets. We just stayed the night or on the road, whatever we could. And that was funny. We went into a big farmer's building, and we got in there, and it was full of straw. And to us, that was heaven's comfort. So we all got down in the straw, and suddenly, into the entrance came a flock of sheep, and they all came in. That was their home, and they weren't having that. So they all came in and got down beside us and fell asleep with us. That really was a genuine funny thing that happened to us there. But anyway, we went on a short distance, and then we had to... I was going to say about these Germans, wasn't I? And the equipment. What happened? What to do with the Germans? I was...
Next thing in your notes is about the going to Stade and the end of the war and a German tank firing at you.
Oh, yes. There was a case where we had reached a farmhouse again, and this is a second farmhouse, where the war was over, virtually over. We had been told the war was over, and we were staying out in the countryside with no home yet, no place to go to stay, nothing. We were just standing there, minding our own business, and opposite, a tank fired at us. Well, we were shouting, "The war's over, the war's over," but we had to dash down the ground and ask for help, and one of our groups further up had their guns out and blew the tank, the machine gun to bits, and it was because his radio was out of action. Otherwise he would have been still alive that day. But we were nearly killed at the end of the... Then we went to Minden, sorry. I've got it wrong.
And no, there's a lot of stories here. I'll just ask you. It says that you were issued with kilts. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, indeed.
That's why you're still with the Argyle, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Actually, in Minden, we had a very big house there, and we had a pipe band there too, who did their training there. They're playing all day long, all the various bits they had to do. And then we had, as every unit had to have, it had to be marched into the control of the new centre sort of thing, and the old one would go back into the billet to sleep and that sort of thing. And what would happen is the pipe band would come at the top of the small town with the troops following them down the road back to the head office centres where the officers stopped and the administration was kept.
And what happened?
Oh, well, it was very exciting because all the Germans came out to see this band playing, which was very striking. But this bit, funny bit you might like, at the bottom of this building that was land, obviously, up to the big house where the pipe was played and the officer stayed, and we had a sentry tent, and we slept in there during the night, some of us, or others could go back to the billet. So we had these men in the tent doing the spell of duty. Then they came out and sat on the benches just outside the grounds. And the German wearing the kilt, of course, that's the point you're making, wearing the kilt. And the German girls walked down the other side of the road, the pavement, and of course, when they saw the men, the Scots there, with a kilt on, and yet the men weren't that careful because we did not wear anything under the kilt in those days.
You didn't?
Did not. That's true. I'm not telling a story. It's the lie. We did not wear the kilt, the underpants or anything.
So what happened next then?
Well,
what's
these girls,
that story?
These girls were going mad across the road, the German girls sort of thing, until we had to go back into our tent, then back up to the head office. Then we moved to another building, completely private quarters sort of thing. But we still had that same problem from time to time with the kilt. We had to be very careful what we did. But that was quite a laugh, you know. The men were the gentlemen waiting for the ladies to come across the road. So that was quite something there.
Now, you were made a signaller. Can you talk about that?
Yes, indeed. They had equipment in schools, and I was asked with my pal to go and get all the equipment down from the schools. So we went, walked, of course, with no transport, to get this equipment, and we arrived at the school, and we spoke to one of the teachers, and they said, go ahead, ladders to window, there are the windows. And that's where all the equipment was, in that side of the school. So we used to climb up the ladders past the classroom windows, full of girls. What do you do in a situation like that? You just try and pretend they're not there, sort of thing. And we had to take all the electric cable, which they did for signals, back to the head office and things like that. Well, we weren't trained to do that sort of thing, but it didn't worry us. We just snipped with cables and take the cables and the wires down to the bottom. Then we just walked with them back to the camp. Then we went back if we'd missed one or two. But it's as simple as that. But it was quite fun, really, because there was no war in that at all. The girls were pleased to see us at the window, wondered what we were like, sort of thing, and...
Did you actually become a signal? Because
I did indeed, yes, because we had those box signals. Do you know the ones which you're operated purely by hand? And our troops would go out and exercise. Believe it or not, the war was over, we still did exercises. And what I would do is I would get the order to the group where to go, what to do, sort of thing. And we had these signallers, the ones you press the buttons, and massive buttons. Have you seen that type of signaller? And those are the kind we use, and we sent out the messages on that, which we enjoyed thoroughly. We thought it was great fun doing that. But I say I'm a signaller because we were called a signaller. But apart from clearing cables out of the way and using this for messages when required, because there was quite a few messages here and there, sort of thing, we had to send out. And that was it. We got no more money for it. We weren't any thought anything, just people doing a job.
Now, anything else? There's sorry, a couple of other things. You went to the 51st Harlan Division Battle School, do you remember? I don't know what that was about.
Oh, that was horrible. The war was over. And they decided that people like myself and some others, felt they might become officers one day. I was to be born once upon a battalion, but that died a death early in the war. They got enough officers, I'm sure. Anyway, our job was to give part of the scheme, a training scheme, that these troops were going to attack a make-up village, some couple of miles or something like that. And our job was to dictate to the officers what the attack was to be, where the troops were to shelter, how to advance, how many advanced, and when to attack. It was a war exercise being carried out by practice, and that was what our job was. We hated every second of it because the war was over as far as we were concerned. But We did, but we weren't abused or told that was rubbish. We did that one exercise and then someone else took over for another one.
Now, there's also a story about football and the Polish league. Tell me about that.
That is great. I'll tell the story and a little extra, which this happened a couple of days ago. We were up in Minden and we had an officer in charge and that was it. We did nothing. I ran the railway station at Minden railway station and I loved every minute of that. You'll cut my hand off before you give up. What is that anyway?
It's a microphone.
Oh, it's sorry. No idea. Okay, I can see why it's there. Anyway, so really,
you were telling me about the Polish teams at football.
Well, the officer had received a party of Poles who lived with a unit with their family, women and children and everything, in a huge field. They come out from a unit somewhere and they played football and they love football, but they've nobody to play with. So they came to our railway station and saw the officer there and says, could you give us a football team to play against? He says, that's a marvellous idea. Well, none of us were football. We'd rather have stayed and had a cup of tea somewhere or something. Anyway, we decided we would play football with them and we went out onto the field. And this Polish team came out all very severe. All the women there, the children were there. The team had a knife down the sock there, which didn't please us very well. But we started to play football, and we weren't that bad because I love football. That was my game sort of thing, and the others were very keen too. And we won the first game. Oh, that pleased us no end. We got in a lorry because we didn't like the look of those lies. And back to our unit at Minden, and we went the very next day for another game. They were so pleased, it was marvellous, everybody was happy. So we went and played another game, and we won again, which was great. And we couldn't understand because we weren't that good football. And I remember one Pole saying to me, Pazaufjunga, which means watch out, because I tripped him up and sort of thing. So it was really quite odd. And anyway, later on, it ended. It had to end. The Poles were going to proper quarters and all that sort of thing. And I think they were glad to see the back of us. And I was asked through your magazine anything about that. And I said, well, I will say, what did you think made us win every game against those professional Polish teams? And I think your bodies thought that was a great question, a popular one. It was because our officer was the referee. And it was no problem. They never won a single game. I thought that was great anyway. So that was our only bit of Poles. But we had a Pole here just a few nights ago. He was doing some work outside of the house.
Slightly different.
Oh, sorry.
Now what about, you seem to have, but what were you doing at the railway station? What was your job? You were orderly car or something?
We were a rail feeding point. And the trains used to come in with Americans, Germans, English, that sort of thing, into our railway station where they got a meal. It was the only place they got a meal.
So what did you have to do with that? I mean, what was your job?
Well, I did practically everything because I was billeted just across the road from the railway station from my pal, and they put me in charge of all the telephone communications for trains and that sort of thing. And I was able to get the railway station to be prepared for X number of mails, etc., etc. Now, what I was going to say, how do we feed all these food trains? We could get the food, but how do we get, so we got all the German girls out of Minden to come. And they used to come in, and they used to come in like little silver little flakes, lovely girls, everything beautiful, tiny silver. But when they left at night, they were like bacon pigs. They'd taken so much food off the tables, they were as fat as baked pigs. But we didn't object because they were hungry, they were short of food, and they took it home to their parents and children, etc. So we let them take what they took from the tables.
Now, you went on a visit to Berlin.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
At this railway station, I had a pal who had got a girlfriend in Berlin, and there was two of us together. That made three men anyway. And he says, the station to Berlin goes from Minden Railway Station. He says, I can get you, he was a sergeant or something, I can get you a trip up to Berlin, would you like that? And I said, oh, by all means, I'd love it. So the three of us got on this train, we got permission for a few days' holiday. I can explain why we got permission, because we were all pals together in that area. There was no troops or anything like that. And we went to Berlin. At the odd way, the train stopped, and they said, be prepared for this, for certs and everything, but you've got to accept it. And it was the Russians that came in and checked everything we got, our passes and everything, to check we were all right. But they didn't make any fuss apart from that, and we went on into Berlin. And I was staying in the major games in those days, in the, what's the big game that everybody goes in sport? It was held in Berlin anyway, and we had to, my pal had got his girlfriend and other girls, but you couldn't get beer, no beer at all. And he got some drinks, which we wouldn't touch with a barge pole. The drinks were all right, but they were like, when you pay a lot of money to get a nice drink to take over a meal or something. So that wasn't successful at all, but all the girls were there and everything, and they gave us plenty of water and plenty of those other things. So really it was interesting. But then we went into to Berlin itself, and we had a walk around the town and saw Hitler's quarters and all these bits and pieces. But again, it was a wartime. There were no shops full, no people dashing about. They stayed at home or hid because the wall was still up in those days. And it was only a matter of spending our time there, then getting on the train to get back to.
Now, what's this about you being an extra in The Captive Heart? Tell us that story.
Oh dear. That is actual fact. It was in those days when the war finished, troops were called out to do all the awful jobs you can think of, like getting coal together and things like that, all the duties for the army. And then we had got a remark, if any troops would like to join in making a film, would you go? So we said, oh, marvellous, this is exciting. So we went down to this, it was a German station for captives. That's where it was held and sort of thing. And Jack Warner was the star. And that was basically it at the time. Then the story started because there's a character in the film who was the escaped British player, and the baddies, the Poles, whoever they were after to get him, to kill him. So he found a British soldier who was dead. He put that soldier's clothes on and went back into the unit as a prisoner of war. That's it. You ought to ask my wife, she's great, because there was well, could I get her to give you the story?
So, well, no, but what did you do? What did you do?
Oh, what happened? We were all taken in Dover when the troops were all caught by the Germans there, and we walked back a whole distance to this camp. So you can imagine we were whacked. Strange to say, we passed through German village, so we had to have German troop carriers on that. So they had our troops in German troop carriers in our uniforms carried through the road. It was vaguely ridiculous. But we were prisoners of war, exhausted with this walk till we got to the prisoner of war camp. And Jack Warner was the leader, and I was just beside him, actually. I was walking with him because I'd seen him before, and I said, well, this is great, I'm seeing Jack Warner. And we were walking along, and then he shouted to us all, gentlemen, it's been an exhausting walk. I know you're beaten and tired. We're arriving at the prisoner of war camp. Show them we're not beaten. We will sing There'll Always Be an England. But unfortunately, all the troops were Scottish troops, which they borrowed. And we all refused to sing it. And Jack got furious. He said, you've got to play it for the film. You've got to. Not that one, they said. We're not singing There'll Always Be an England sort of thing. And that was that. They had to get it done in London again and put on the film that way. None of the troops would sing that. So that was the major funny bit.
Anything else about your time in Germany before you get demobilised? Because you're there quite a while, aren't you?
Yes. Well, don't forget, I was digging coal and rubbish and things like that as what we were made to do. I'm trying to think if there was anything else you're saying. Yes, there was something. We got to leave. And we were coming home, and the train was taking us down to the docks, and the docks across of that. Short holiday, but nevertheless a holiday. And we got to this German train, which had no windows, no glass, nothing, no seats, nothing. And I got my kilt with me to show off, sort of thing. And we were just lying on the floor, and I was lying in my kilt just to get a bit of warmth, all that sort of thing. And then came the inevitable. They wanted to go to the loo, and there was no loo. So what they did was, the train was coming along here, there was an embankment down there, nice smooth embankment, so they opened the doors and jumped out. And I looked out at the window sort of thing, and there were all these soldiers jumping down this slope and slipping, and they all went rolling down, body after body, all wanting to go to the loo, tumbling over and over again. I think that was the funniest point. It was because I think I was sensible enough to jump down and roll down, but nevertheless, it was a terrible thing, and it was so uncomfortable, and it was freezing cold, no glass, until we got back home to Worcester.
Anything else about your time in Germany?
Germany. Yes. In Minden, I was getting a wee bit bored myself, and I said, here, there's Germans here. They can play the piano. So I asked my cleaner, this woman, who I hope to see sometime going to Mindingen, but I haven't had a chance to meet her again. She cleaned her rooms out perfectly, sort of thing. And I said, do you know any piano teachers? She said, yes. She gave me a man's address and a woman's address. And I went into our yard where they'd coal briquettes. And I filled my big heavy coat with coal briquettes. They didn't want money, they wanted the coal, the fuel. So that's what I paid them with. And they played. And I could play, but I'd done the same things at home. I've got a sense of hearing to play, but I can't teach myself to play, so I can't read music and play. I do it all by ear. And so I learned nothing, except it was quite an experience seeing that.
How did you get on with the Germans generally, would you say?
Well, the ones I got on with very well indeed. Some were super, you know. I had a lot to do with Germans. Women on the troop trains, the drivers who I knew, people running the trains, everything to do with the trains. And then I would go into town sort of thing, and they did a cinema which was working in the town, and we could go to the castle and the various people you would go on holiday to see. There's one thing, the Weser is the river across there, and it was just at that stage that they decided to make a bridge, and it was there when they made the river across the Weser, which was great. Except it was just near Christmas time, and because all my friends were stupid, they drank too much, and they went across this bridge, and they fell across it with their tummies rolling on this thing, and I had to go along and haul away and pull them back out of the way and shout and scream at them, because I don't swim, so there was no way of me falling into that water, whatever happened. But that was just another bit of excitement that happens in these things. And I did tell you, I'm sure, I didn't smoke, so the troops took my cigarette ration, which they wanted, and gave me their chocolate ration. And I used to phone that, some of it, home to my parents in Glasgow.
Were you aware of the black market at all?
No, no. If there was a black market, everybody would use it. I found nothing. The Germans were so friendly, nobody would have told on them or done anything, really. There was nothing that went on that would have worried anybody. I'm trying to think what would have done. The people on the railway station, they took food home, because you could see it in the fatness of their dresses. And we didn't object to that, because we had more food, we were well fed and everything.
So what happened next then?
Demobbed. We all had a number, and you didn't get demobbed till your number came up.
And when were you demobilised?
Just then, when I was in Minden.
It seems to say
the
January
end of the war.
48.
1945 would it be?
January 48.
January 48 was it? It would be about right.
And you've been in Germany at that since then?
Yes, it was the 45. I've been in Germany since the war.
You mean? Now, what did you do when you got back? What career did you settle in to? What did you work as?
Well, I was an accountant when I went into the army. Can I just think about that, Weaven? That's a nasty one you've given me. What was I doing, for my goodness sake? Can I just ask, maybe?
No problem. Okay, then. We'll leave it at that, then. Thanks a lot.